All right, June 3rd, here's our current events. I'm going to go our United States news first. I said the last couple of weeks, we've changed it up a little bit, and we'll do some global news in a second, but national news. Here is ex-Speaker of the House. Have you guys seen him in the news lately? Dennis Hastert, former U.S. House Speaker. He's going to have his first court appearance next Tuesday, June 9th. It was put off a week on charges that he agreed to pay $3.5 million in hush money to cover up wrongdoing involving a longtime acquaintance while he was at Wheaton College. You all know what Wheaton College is? I'll talk about that in a second. The indictment alleged out of the $3.5 million, that $1.7 million has been paid already since 2010, which the FBI said is paying a man off to conceal sexual abuse. Why? Not only he coached high school, but in college as well. Now, last week we talked about, are we living end times America and the end times church last 3 weeks. Romans 1 last week talked about the depravity of man. It talked about the cycle which goes down. We didn't limit that to Romans 1, but we went through several different passages. Last week we concluded that it says, when do we know that God takes his hand off of a nation, right? You guys remember this? When that last thing that we looked at last week is when society or a nation crosses the blood covenant, meaning God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us, and it says he's faithful and just to forgive us if we ask, right? He's faithful and just. That's the blood covenant we have. Now, when he says, when a society then says that it's no longer sin, okay? Now, what is one of those sins is homosexuality, different things that are going on that we talked about society-wise. There's three things specifically from last week. One is to legalize that homosexuality, which this nation has done. And we can see what is happening now. And it says, the word says that if people don't change, if people don't change, he says he will first, there's five fold steps. We'll talk about that in a second, how he works through that and he exposes that. So the next thing that happened as a result of ex-Speaker Dennis Hastert is this right here is a picture of Wheaton College. It says, Wheaton College yesterday removed alumnus Dennis Hastert's name from the research center amid allegations that he paid hush money to cover up sexual abuse. So Wheaton College, which also hosts the Billy Graham Center Museum, not the Billy Graham Museum in Charlotte, but the Billy Graham Center Museum. It's right across the street. Has anybody ever been to Wheaton College? Anybody? Right outside of Chicago? Beautiful campus. I mean, just the little rolling hills, the grass, the chiming of the church, and all that stuff like that. Well, they removed his name off the wing and center that was named because of the sexual abuse allegations that have come out, okay? So the Christian College, which in 2012, interesting enough, Wheaton College, we all heard of Wheaton College, correct? Okay, big Christian college. In 2012, in September, as the former students came back, they also celebrated and had a parade in rainbow t-shirts for homosexuality. Okay, just follow me here. Interesting. So a school standing on the word, two teachers in that article said they had no problem with homosexuality and they would no longer teach against it because they didn't see it in the Bible. As over 400 students marched with rainbow t-shirts for the LGBT, this is Wheaton College, as they marched right past the Billy Graham Center Museum, and now they remove the name of someone because of a same-sex relations. Now, whether or not it was a minor or not, that's when the one thing that's, like I said, this is where we gotta let the information come out. These are allegations. So what I'm saying is there's things going on. There's things going on that they're above and beyond. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1. So that's, I just wanted to give you, because that's been in the news quite a bit, I wanted to give you a little more background. I believe, than that, what's being said. Wheaton College, as you can see on the screen, is located just outside Chicago, just about not even an hour from Wisconsin, off Lake Michigan there. So very close, and like I said, in biblical circles, we had several friends that went there as well. Next, this is an article. Oh, here you see a picture right now of the East Coast of the United States. An article that was run in CBS said their luck, meaning the East Coast, is about to run out. It's just a question of when the East Coast cities are going to be hit by a disastrous storm. Their luck is about to run out. Just our luck. Okay, cities on the Gulf and East Coast are overdue for monster storms which could hit at any time. The Gulf Coast, which is obviously like the Fort Myers, Naples, Tampa area, and the East Coast going all the way from the southeastern tip all the way to the northeastern tip of the United States. The charts that you see up on the wall with the different colors represent how many years it has been since a major catastrophe or hurricane has hit that area, far exceeding that of the norm which has been hit. So it says it's a disastrous thing that's going to hit based upon history. But these according down to the Weather Channel and different weather news organizations, it says exponentially weather has been getting worse. Sounds like the Bible, doesn't it? As the time approaches, this is Luke 21, Matthew 24. Meteorologist Kerry Manuel says, we have been lucky. This blows me. We have been lucky, almost as if someone's been giving us a break. Some hand of protection, he says, it seems like it's been protecting us, but it's going to go at some point. And this isn't a religious thing, everyone. This is here. It says, you can tell by all the models, weather models, that it is ripe. The whole East Coast is ripe for disaster. It is ripe for disaster from Sarasota, Tampa, Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, Daytona Beach, St. Augustine, Savannah, Georgia, Hilton Head, Myrtle Beach, Norfolk, Bridgeport, Cape Cod, Boston, New York, Atlantic City, Ocean City. Very godly cities. There, I thought out loud, I apologize. So you have people in the natural, not biblical scholars, telling you disaster is going to strike something. It's going to happen. Something happened in Genesis 5 and 6. Noah was forewarning people that a disaster was going to take place. Now, at the time, they didn't know it was spiritual, right? He just kept saying it was going to rain. People are telling us now, the Bible, as it talks about, as we've been going through the last 3 weeks, about judgment, how it works when a nation turns away from God. It says disasters, natural disasters take place along with other things. That's God's judgment. He lifts his hand of protection away. So I just want you to just think about what's going on. These are non-Christian people telling you these are what's happening. Just as you look at when the Bible says there's going to be a one-world economy and a one-world religion, and you turn on the news and non-spiritual people are telling you that we're going to a one-world economy and a one-world religion. They're not putting it together. This is found in Revelation. No, they're just saying, hey, this is where we're going. Now, next, does anyone remember who this is? Anyone? Mayor of Houston? Annise Parker, Mayor of Houston. What did she make news for? Anyone? She's outspoken, lesbian mayor, who asked all the pastors in Houston to turn over their sermons, right? You guys remember that? So it started with the city of Houston passed, although the election process was kept at late night and all the votes, it was like 90% to 10% were against it, that they voted for transgender bathrooms and boys could go in girls and girls can go in boys and all that stuff, right? So the pastors signed. They had enough signatures to say, we're fighting this. The city attorney decided not to turn it in, didn't go with it, and they still voted. So the pastors got a lawsuit going. She turned around, sued the pastors, and said, you're speaking hate speech anytime you speak God's word in regards to a woman should lay out with a woman, man shall manage the sin. This is what, so I'm just reminding you what happened here. There's a backstory that's going on right now. There's some other things, some legal things going on in the background, but Mike Huckabee, Phil Robertson, even Ben Carson, you guys know who Ben Carson is? Ben Carson was also at that time probably a little well known compared to what he is now in the last 2 months. Ben Carson was also at the forefront of that last fall when this began earlier this year in 2015. Interesting enough, so the city of Houston voted in a lesbian mayor. According to Romans 1, now once again, I want to make this sure. Did you know that God loves everybody? So what am I talking about? Why am I hitting this? Because people, including the church and the judges of this country and people in authority, no longer want to call something sin. You understand that? So when you put your hand on the Bible and says, I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, why are you doing that? Because it's wrong to lie. So all of a sudden, if the Supreme Court and judges said, oh, by the way, it's no longer wrong to lie. You right? Wouldn't you be, wait, that's wrong. You can't lie. This is the same thing was happening. So they didn't choose lying, they chose homosexuality. So you understand that? Doesn't matter what it is, we're just calling out something. It's not a group of people, it's an act, the sin itself we're calling out. So what the city of Houston did was elect a lesbian mayor. She got married, all that stuff. Interesting, what's been going on in Houston lately? Worse flooding. There's been enough rain in Houston alone, according to meteorologists in Fort Worth, that if you took the rain in Houston, it would cover the whole state of Texas 8 inches deep. Could it be, according to the last 3 weeks, what we've been studying, that God has decided to lift his hand of protection? Could it be? Well, how could you say that? Because I'm looking at the character of God in the stories that we've been looking at in the Bible verses of what it looks like to turn people towards him. He allows natural disasters and other things to come upon. First, he targets. See, what happened was she and the other people in that administration came up against God's word. So he warned them. He used the legal process. Then they came back and tried to come again. And then, oh, there was a victory. Now they're coming back again. So God has a way. Well, are you saying this is God's judgment? No, I'm just saying, isn't it interesting? This is what we've been studying the last 3 weeks. We're looking at God's word. Has God taken his hands of protection off of America? And what can we do about it? Now, global news. And there's just some pictures of Houston completely underwater. Completely underwater everywhere. Completely underwater. Now, we don't get excited about the judgment. There's people are dying, but what does those verses say? We looked in Matthew 5, right? It says, God says that I'll have the sun shine upon the just and the unjust, but I'll also have it rain on the just and the unjust. Because of the cycle of process. At the end, when he lifts his hands off, he said, remember, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So judgment came, but for those who are ready to receive Christ, They're with him. So global news. Who is this in the middle here? Who is this? Benjamin Netanyahu, whose position is? Of Prime Minister of Israel. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu preempted President Obama's TV interview in Israel, who was pitching Iran's deal to the Israeli public. So they were airing this, and Benjamin Netanyahu decided, I've heard enough. He preempted the speech all throughout Israel. That's pretty cool. All right. As it was being broadcast in Channel 2 without Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu interrupted the broadcast, slamming the deal that was being spoken about on TV moments earlier. And said, first and foremost, Israel can't count on the United States anymore. We are alone with this, with God, against the enemy. Can you imagine turning your TV on and seeing this? He said, on all fronts, everyone is against us. The enemy is all around us, and we are facing challenges all throughout Israel, including the threat now of rockets and missiles piling up all around us as the world knows that there are enemies want to wipe us off the map. Most of the missiles and rockets are aimed at Israel are being supplied by Iran. He just said this on the news yesterday. He just came out, shut that speech off. Can you imagine? He's just watching it on his own TV, calls him up and says, forget this. Go, shut it off. I'm going on the news station. When he was speaking of Israeli security, he said, we first must rely on ourselves and God. And the proof of this agreement that is emerging between not just the United States, but the world powers with Iran confirms that what I've been telling you all along. This is paving the way for Iran to take bombs and wipe Israel off the map. Not only are they getting, does this pave the way for bombs, but it also paves the way for an injection of billions of dollars to Iran from other foreign countries who are against us. With this money, it will continue to arm our enemies with high trajectory weapons and other arms, and also arm its war and terror machine, which is acting against us and the Middle East, and which is more dangerous than Islamic State terror machine could ever be. This interview, although it aired Tuesday evening, it was done without notes. It was done from the passion that President Benjamin has for his people of Israel, who he knows that are God's people. I mean, this is some incredible stuff which is going on. This, if you don't think we're living in end times, you're wrong. So, how about that? I'm not going to flower that one. It's just wrong. Benjamin Netanyahu, we need to pray, though, for our president as well, because we're commanded to. The word says to pray for those in authority over us so it might go peaceable for us. So, all right, global news. This picture right here, see that? It's not a real man. There's Palestinian TV, this past weekend, their weekend, kind of like, you guys remember Barney, the purple dinosaur? They have a program over here just kind of similar to Barney, and they have these different characters. This is one character. It's a children's program played every weekend. And this past weekend on this children's program with puppets, which is the official Palestinian TV program, it called Jews and Israelis monkeys and the most evil of creations. This is what the puppets are saying. They're having a dialogue. In this episode that was aired just this past Saturday, a girl recites a poem in which she calls the sons of Zion, who murdered Allah, the most evil creations and their barbaric monkeys. She recites to the camera, off to the side with all the puppets, that Jerusalem opposes us. We must take them out. It is Jerusalem who is filthy. It is the Israel. It is those who are filthy, and Allah must help us take them out. The previous week, the weekend of May 22nd, the same host has participated in a segment which a puppet named Marwin visited Tel Aviv. And he said, we must take it back over. It belongs to Palestine. Let us wipe out Israel, as all the kids in the audience clapped and cheered. Now, many people have been asking, now what's all this thing with ISIS and ISIL, with these kids, these little kids who are joining? You guys see this? Why would these little kids do it? Because they're training them as the young kids. They're training them on their Saturday morning cartoon programs with puppets. They're saying, wipe them out. This is how they're joining. This is end times stuff. This is something we could never even think of. We looked at Romans 1, and we looked at seven other passages last week about the evil that's going to be. We can't even fathom the evil. If you guys remember, I think it was verse 29 through 31 of Romans 1, it said they will think of new evil. They're reaching their kids through puppets and telling them, you go out and you kill because they're the monsters. And lastly, tonight, here's pictures of the Su-24 Russian military jets responding to an American Navy destroyer out in the Black Sea. This didn't get much news. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It didn't get much news. Interesting enough, Russia scrambled several SU military aircraft to come up against a U.S. missile ship operating in the Black Sea just 2 days ago. State News Service said a military source from the USS Ross, he sighted heading straight for them several SU-24 attack aircraft. and they were demonstrating readiness and forcibly preventing, because there said border violations. It says we are going the same route, the same path that we always have. As in last week, Russia sent several military aircraft in joint exercises. We talked about, remember, all the joint exercises last week, off the coast of Alaska and off the coast of Maine as well, and into the Arctic. So we'll be watching more of that as these powers, major powers in the world, are testing each other. Last week, we also looked at, in current events, it said a major war, major catastrophe is going to take place soon. World War III, everyone's preparing. Remember, it said at no time in history has all these joint military maneuvers been taking place, and we listed that. So I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to prepare you, right? We're commanded to know the word. All right, everyone ready for the handout? Everyone got it as you came in tonight? End Times America Part 3. End Times America Part 3. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at America. We looked at the End Times Church, what we'll go back to shortly, but I wanted to just lay that as a foundation. In the last 3 weeks, End Times America, what's going on inside the United States? Is God removing his hand of protection off of the United States? And we can look at that. And one passage that I used already tonight during our current events, Isaiah 5:5, we used that a couple weeks ago. It says, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard or my soil, God's, his people, right? Where I've planted you. If you don't obey me, I will take away its hedge. This is also is found in Matthew as well, that Jesus referred back to this Isaiah, which is apocalyptic literature in Isaiah. It's foretelling, it's revealing something. It says, I will take away its hedge. I mean, I will lift my hands of protection from my own vineyard, and it shall be eaten and burned up, and I will break down its walls, and it shall be trodden down by who? Its enemies. God is not trotting them down. God's saying, if you don't want my help, if you don't want to be obedient, if you want to make rules and laws contrary to my word, I'm going to start taking my hand of protection. It starts with leaders of nations, and then it goes to the people. One of the great things about living in a republic is we get to vote our leaders in. It's a great thing. But at the same time, it gives us an idea of what percentage of the people are thinking. Our last election, 2012, we had 90 million. In 2008, we had 60 million. 90 million evangelicals in this country. 90 million. 45 million evangelicals did not register to vote. 45 evangelicals who say they read the Bible once a week, go to church once a week, and believe in five basic cores, that Jesus and the virgin birth, and he died for our sins, and he's coming back. There's five principles they believe in. So 45 million evangelicals decided not even register to vote. Out of the 45 million, 22.5 million voted. Get a load of that. 22.5 million voted. Out of that, 12 million voted for our current president. 90 million evangelicals. So the great thing, we live in a democracy or republic, really. We get to vote. But it is an indicator of the heart of the people. So when God doesn't, so now here's the point of when you live in a monarchy or something where that leader or that family continues to God often, we can see this all throughout Scripture, he comes up against that leader first. If that leader is coming up against God's people, he'll come up against that leader. But now we're in America where now the people have a voice and they're speaking, and it's an indicator of the heart of the people. So God says, you know what, not only am I going to bring judgment upon your leaders, I'm going to bring judgment upon my people. And how does it get our attention? Well, there's different ways of discipline. Why? Matthew 5:45, Jesus said, You may be my children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun rise on the evil and on the good, but he sends rain on the just and the unjust. We all live in a fallen world. Well, I thought God always protects us. Of course he does. To be absent from the body is to be present with him. Things happen. People in that Houston flood, they weren't just unbelievers. There were some believers that passed away. But there's a pattern, this fivefold pattern from 3 weeks ago. This fivefold pattern that you can see from the beginning of time when a group of people, a nation, a portion of a nation, cities, they turn away from God, and it's their sin, their iniquity, and breaking God's commandments. This is what triggers it. And it's in five areas. This is just a quick recap because we got to get our mind thinking just even on the current events tonight, what just took place. All throughout Scripture, there was always a warning. God warned us that this is going to take place if you don't obey me. Then selective chastisement. He usually, all selective chastisement means is he comes against the leader of that group or nation, and he punishes, reprimands, or even in the scriptures we saw, he actually killed. Then complete chastisement against this group of people. Selective judgment, now it gets worse. And then complete abandonment, when he lifts his hands off and says, whatever the enemy wants to do to you, I take my hand off my own vineyard. So God takes his hand off a nation so they have nowhere else to turn. The same thing when you spank a child or want to discipline your child, right? As when I was a child, when they sent me to my room, there was absolutely nothing to do in my room. That was a punishment. They opted for a spanking. When I got old enough where the spankings kind of tickled, then I just got sent to my room. You all know what I'm talking about. You can't even spank them hard enough anymore because they're getting too old. So they would send you to the room. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm all for spanking. Spare the rod, spoil the child, go in your room. But when you're in a room, you really were bored. You're older now. It's like, I'm bored out of my mind. And there's punishment, right? Well, why don't you just take away the very thing that I know? Because they're going to get me with what bothers me the most, right? Your parents know how to reprimand or discipline each child different. Each child has a different trigger for what means a lot to them, okay? So God speaks to all of us differently, how he corrects us. It's not the same for everybody. Well, as our kids started getting older, you know, video games and TVs and rooms and all this other stuff, and I remember when, this is years ago, we sent Zach, I just, you know, the spanking thing wasn't, you know, it was just kind of getting old for that, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you just need to go to your room. So Kelly and I were sitting there feeling really good with ourselves, and it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then we hear his, laugh and everything like that. It's like, we walked up there, I mean, he's got his TV, he's got his video games going, he's got little handheld gadgets. It's like, he's on vacation. He just got sent on vacation. He didn't have to clean the table, he didn't have to play. He's like, so wait, that's not punishment. Punishment happens when you get your attention to turn away from your wicked ways. So God uses things to turn back from your wicked ways. What he does to one city or one nation is different than what he does to another. What you see in 2007, 2008, the United States was money. He took his hand of protection away, and it went after the United States money. Everyone freaked out. We're going to talk about that more in 2 weeks, about cycles that happen, according to Scripture. So when we looked at the patterns even last week, specifically leaders of nations and judges all throughout Scripture, there's patterns that we can see that causes nations to get judgment, and you can apply that now to the United States. There was leaders of nations and kings in the Old Testament, and these kings did three things that provoked God continually, which you can see now happening in the United States. First is they allowed sodomites to continue their practices, meaning it was against God's law, but they kept doing it. We saw this in Sodom and Gomorrah and several places throughout Scripture. They knew they weren't supposed to do it, but they kept allowing it to take place, so God brought judgment. They allowed Israel to worship idols. We don't walk around the United States, obviously, with little idols, not most of us anyways, but we do other things. We put our families first. We put our money first. We put other things first before God, which is all idols. Thirdly, God always was provoked by when they allowed their children to be sacrificed by Moloch, which now, according to Roe versus Wade, right, we legalized that, which is abortion, which is offering a sacrifice, your first child's gone. That was an abomination starting back in the Old Testament. So as you see, as when we break the blood covenant, meaning you can't repent of sin if you no longer call something sin. If you no longer call something sin, you're not sinning. Now iniquity kicks in, because iniquity means the no longer repenting of sin. So if you no longer call something sin, you are now living in iniquity. This is why the Episcopalian Church has split. This is why the Presbyterian Church has split. They have now allowed homosexuality not just in the church to be okay, but also their ordained ministers of the gospel. They decided to take this out. Well, guess what? Judgment is coming. We looked at Daniel 9:11. So what happened? See, Daniel recognized in Daniel 9 that the judges transgressed against God's law. Therefore, God was pouring out a curse that was written upon the people, but he said, I'm also going to pray for the judges, so you and I still have to pray for the people in authority over us. Daniel did it. He saw, you know what, this is what happened. We put judges are in positions to make laws that are contrary to God's word. It brings immorality, which also brings judgment, but we still need to pray for those in authority over us, which is verse 12. We continued on, and then Jasher, like I said, it's not part of the 66 books, but it is a history book that is referenced to in the Bible, in Kings and in Samuel, and Joshua as well. So what the story in Joshua did was break down the name of the four judges in Sodom that made decisions based upon their desire. In the United States, you're not supposed to legislate from the bench. You cannot just make up and do things that you're supposed to. But when you create and build your own desire upon the laws, it changes the will of the 29 of the 56 signers who had seminary degrees, right? And they've decided to change that language and allow these things to happen. So when God is separated from government, nothing restrains evil and judgment will soon follow. We've gotten rid of those laws. When you don't honor God as creator, he gives people over to their own lust and evil desires, Romans 1. God will not deliver those who have crossed the covenant bloodline, meaning we are making laws that are contrary to God's word. And if anything, kids are confused. Wait, you're telling me God says it's wrong, but we just legalized this. But it's lawful for us to do this. But God's word trumps anything that man says you can and cannot do. God's law trumps that. So it's important that America begins. It's important, but America is legalizing abominations. They're legalizing abominations, which shows us that God has to take his hands off of us in order for us to repent. Now, based upon everything, not just in the last 4 weeks, but over even our end time series that we did starting in July of last year, that we are at the time of the end. I am not an alarmist. I believe God's word. I didn't come here to incite anything based upon what I feel or think. I'm just telling you what God's word says. You can read the word and you see we're at the time of the end. Well, what if it's another 4 more years? You and I aren't promised tomorrow. Don't hedge your bet. You and I could die tomorrow. If he comes back in the rapture, I'd love to go up in the rapture. I don't know about you. I want to go up in the rapture. I think it would be cool. Stuart, you and I could talk on the way up tonight. We just going, we're just floating up. It's like, hey, this is awesome. We were just down there, now we're up. I mean, this is great. But in the days of Lot, the Bible says, is what it's going to be like prior to Christ's return. Judges and other things are going against what God says in legalizing immorality. Luke 17 now, we're going to go back and forth. Luke 17, who's speaking here? Who's speaking Luke 17? Everyone? Starts with a J. Okay, Jesus, all right. Jesus. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, when they were eating, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire, judgment came from heaven and destroyed, what did it destroy? Everything. It destroyed everything. See, once again, God is showing you through the word how he works. He forewarns, he gives a warning, he gives you a chastisement, he gives you judgment, and if you don't turn, his hands come off and complete judgment comes upon a land or a city or a nation. Now, verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it's going to, complete judgment's going to come, but these things are going to happen prior to. So what was it like in the days of Lot? Before we go to the days of Lot, Isaiah 46, it's in your notes. But this is so important, Isaiah 46. Once again, for those of you who didn't go to the end time series we did for 26 weeks, Isaiah is also considered an apocalyptic literature or book. It is revealing of the end times. It goes forward. It foreshadows that of Christ coming and being born. It also talks and is used in Revelations, and Christ himself goes back to it several times in the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things. What does things mean? Things means words. Greek, in the Greek and Hebrew, when he says things, it means word. Things that are in the word. So remember the former things, the things that I've already said in my word. Former meaning already done, already been said. I am God and there's no one else and there's none like me. I've declared the end of time, as we're referencing in Isaiah 46, from the beginning of time, time as we know it, time of the written word, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, meaning there is prophecy in the Bible that has yet to be fulfilled. There are ancient times, things that I've already written down in ancient times, old prophetic times that I gave to the prophets, then there are things that are not yet done. Well, Pastor, I've heard that everything that has to take place prior to Christ returning has been done. Yes, it has, according to Scripture. But after Christ comes in the clouds, not touches down, we are caught up with him in the clouds, then whole other prophecies start to kick in. Those prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. This is what he's talking about in this portion of Isaiah 46. And my counsel shall not stand, and I will do as my pleasure. So from the beginning of time, starting in Genesis, now going back to Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there, but Genesis 3, interesting, where it says, I will put enmity between the woman. This is after Adam and Eve have taken of the apple. And it says, and he shall crush the serpent's head and his foot shall be, remember you guys? You guys remember that? And remember we studied that, what that is referring to? Jesus was on the cross and he was on Golgotha. As he was on the cross, Golgotha, Goliath from Gath, his head that Dan, it said David brought back and buried the head of Goliath into the hill of Golgotha. You guys remember this? The Bible called Goliath the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent is in Golgotha Hill. And the Bible even says in Samuel that Goliath was Gath. He was Goliath from Gath or Golgotha. That's how they got that. So here he is, the blood is dripping down off Jesus' feet on top of the seed of the serpent. In Revelations 3, it says the seed, it shall crush. So from the beginning of time, he's already told us what would happen at the end. All along, in the beginning, he always told us in stages. Now, some of his, the mysteries have yet to be uncovered, correct? We've talked about that. But Revelation is the revealing of that, the revealing of that. Now, here we go. This is what it was like in the days of Lot. Page 7 of your notes. So Jesus said, in the days of Lot. Now, in the previous passages, just two verses prior to that, in verse 26 and 27, it says also as in the days of Noah. Just so you guys know, in the days of Noah, but we're going to take Lot tonight, all right? So it's going to be as in the days of Noah, and the days of Lot. But this is what it was like. The streets were unsafe at night, just as it was in the days of Lot. Genesis 19:2, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It's your second grouping. And he said, my Lord, turn aside, I beg of you, into your servant's house and spend the night and bathe your feet. Then you can arise early and go on your way. But they said, no, we will spend the night in the square. Lot entreated. This is Lot speaking now, right, as in the days of Lot. He urged them greatly. Who's he speaking to here? To who? The angels, right? And they came in human form, right? He says, and he yielded it. He said, please come into my house. And he made them dinner, and he had unleavened bread, and he baked. But before, in verse 4, they laid down the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old. Now, even last week, I go back, get last week's notes. You can go through there. Man, what was taking place? Because I went even in more detail there. But before they laid down, the men of the city, both young and old, and all the men from every quarter surrounded the house. They called to Lot and said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know and be intimate with them so we can have sex with the men with the men." This is part of the Sodomites that the mayor of that city would not stop that, even though God said to stop it, right? So here we have Lot. He's begging them, "Do not go out on the street tonight. Please stay in the house." If you read this in the Hebrew, it says, "Because your safety is at risk if you leave out." Your safety is at risk. So the word says, as in the days of Lot. Now, as in the days of Lot, we've already talked about before, this is several months ago, the building, the buying, the marrying, and so forth. Now we're looking at what are the other conditions that they're referring to in lines with in America as well. The couple, it was 2 weeks ago Tuesday, the Detroit police chief came on the news and he said that most places in the city of Detroit, he would not go himself at night. Did you guys see this? The police chief of Detroit said he wouldn't go out at night. If you look at the United States and most major cities, I don't know if most of us would send our wives out or our daughters or our little kids out at night. Don't go out at night. Why? It's not safe. As in the days of Noah and Lot. So what was it like at Lot's day? It was the streets were unsafe. Number two, the righteous were threatened for their beliefs, as in the days of Lot. They were even facing death for their beliefs. Verse 9 now, and I'm going to go to the Amplified for this as well. But they said, "Stand back." They said, "This fellow came in to live here temporarily, and now he presumes to be our judge?" Talking about Lot now. "Now we will deal worse with you than with them," the ones that they wanted to have sex with. So they rushed out and pressed violently against Lot and came close to breaking down his door. The Hebrews said they wanted to kill Lot. Why? Because of who he was. Do you think Christians are under attack at all? Well, they're dying overseas. They're dying overseas. In the United States now, lawsuits, penalties for not marrying homosexual couples, penalties for businesses, companies, they're going to come up against the church. These things are taking place. It says you will be hated, right, for your righteous beliefs or right standing with God. As in the days of Lot, you will be hated and despised. The only reason you will be hated and despised is for being, though, is righteous. Well, Pastor, no one hates me. But it says you'll be hated for being righteous. Why? Well, maybe we're not extreme Christians. Extremists. This doesn't mean I go around and point and say, "Kill me, I'm a Christian," on my t-shirt. This just says, I'm just doing what is right. I just do what is right, and you will be hated. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, they hated me. So they're going to hate you. What? For doing what is right. For my name's sake. Luke 21 says your own brother, sister, and mother was going to come up against you in verse 16 of Luke 21. So the men of Sodom wanted to kill Lot if they wouldn't deliver the two men. Why? Romans 1, their lust took over for them, and they no longer had the ability to fathom. Verse third thing. Older men corrupted younger men, as in the days of Lot. Jesus said this would happen. Jesus said this would happen. Entire sections of the city had turned into complete perversion. You know, there's places, how many ever been down to Southwest Florida? Southwest Florida. Anyway, it's not evil. Okay, everyone is like, well, should I raise my hand? Yeah, I live there. It's okay. All right. So you have Naples, Fort. You guys are just on vacation there. Down Fort Myers, Naples, Marco Island. Now, you can take this this boat ride. It's a couple hours down to Key West. And who's been to Key West? Okay. So okay, I've been to Key West. Okay, you see you're warming up now in agreement. Key West is not a Christian city. It is not like the Assemblies of God Vatican. This is not. So every other store sells bongs, right? And then the other store after that sells T-shirts that would make a sailor blush, okay? So, I mean, it's like, whoa, I can't believe this is taking place. There are parts of that city, they said at night, are like Sodom and Gomorrah. Anything goes, they don't even do anything. It says they do whatever they want out in public. It doesn't matter. There are several cities. You know what happens in Ann Arbor every year? There's a little jog that they take. Well, there's the Hash Bash, of course. And then isn't there a Naked Mile Run? But that's okay. Could you see them doing that in Northville? Because it says parts of cities or parts of areas were complete perversion. So out of the four cities mentioned in the Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis, two of the cities got wiped out because they were in complete perversion. Ann Arbor is a very perverse, and if you live there, I apologize, but there's a lot of things that go on there that are not godly, that are acceptable by people in high places. There's things that go on in every city, but now I'm talking about what's allowed to take place from a leader's standpoint. So old men corrupted the young. Verse 4, Genesis 9. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, old people from every quarter. In rabbinical teaching, it tells you in historical books that the old men taught the young men. They were very learned by them. It says here, the older and the young men joined together. It's not because they were just hanging out together all the time. It's because the old men taught the young men their ways, taught them their perversion, which goes back to the Hebrew. So what happens in the days of Lot? Older men, mature men, were teaching younger men their ways. Now, what does that mean? What's going on right now? Simple things like Hollywood, casting couches, wild parties, CEO, corporate execs, they're teaching younger men, right, how to do this. These are older people. Okay, well, Pastor, that's Hollywood. Okay, how about Wheaton College removing Dennis Hastert because what he was doing to younger people, presumably, these are allegations. But all throughout, you can just keep going through the news and see that they're learning behavior from people who are older than them. Would you agree with that? These are learned behaviors from people who have taught them. From hush money, from Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, it says from people who have been violated, it says that's learned behavior, and often they will do that themselves. Why? Because they're learning it from, the Bible says in the days of Lot this would take place. Number 4, Lot's family mocked him. Lot's family mocked him when he warned them that judgment was coming upon the city. Two verses prior to this passage, it says, as in the days of Noah. So in the days of Noah, did people mock Noah? They mocked him. So there's a pattern, right? They mocked Noah. Guess what? He wiped out every single person except for the righteous ones. So then there was a pattern. Okay, now we move ahead to Lot. And Jesus said it's going to be like that in the days of Lot. So he's not giving you just a glimpse of what it was conditioned spiritually was like. He's giving you a glimpse to the judgment that was coming. Right? Do you understand this? It's not a glimpse of just what it looked like about the judgment. Guess what? The United States is going to be just like every other place on this planet is going to be under God's judgment. It says at the end of time, oh no, God is love. It just said Jesus, the man of war, is going to come back. And every single person that's against him is going down. So here's Lot's family. They mocked him. Genesis 19:16, King James. While he lingered, the men laid upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and sent him without in the city. So you have four people coming out of the city prior to judgment, right? Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. But he tried to get his two son-in-laws with him. So we know four people came out, but he tried to get two more. The men in verse 12 now said unto Lot, "Has thou here on any side son-in-law and sons and daughters and whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, messengers of God, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out, spoke to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." So he's telling them, you've been warned, right? Didn't he just warn them? He's warning them that judgment's coming, that God's hand of protection is leaving, and what's going to happen? Judgment is going to come in. So get out of this place. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Look it down at the Amplified at the end of verse 14. But he seemed to his son-in-laws to be only joking. You can't be serious. That's not, it's never going to happen. Don't you think all the people banging on the outside of Noah's door thought the same thing? This is never going to take place. Don't you think at the end of time, when the rapture takes place, that no one can actually believe it took place? It says in Scripture, in Revelations, people will be waxing away and they can't believe it just actually happened. So this is what Peter says about the last days. This is Peter. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. What? Who's going to come? Scoffers. Well, let's go back here. To scoffers or mockers. Right? Verse 14 of Genesis. They mocked him or scoffed at him or laughed at him, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Right? What's his coming? See, it's not just his coming, it's the judgment. See, when Jesus comes, he gathers us away, but then judgment comes. So they're asking, are you kidding? They're scoffing at Lot, saying, judgment, it's not coming. You're crazy. He says, no, it's going to be wiped out. Please come with me. You know, as believers in Christ, we're supposed to be telling everyone, come with me. Jesus is the only way to escape this. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, meaning the prophets of the Old Testament, the ones have already been telling you, repent, Jesus is coming. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What's he talking about? All things. Remember, things means God's word, correct? What is things then? Jesus said, as in the days of Noah and Lot, they were building, buying, selling, getting married, right? Having children. Peter said, everyone won't believe you. They're going to say, wait, everything, buying, selling, people getting married, building, construction, up and down economy, everything has been continuing since the beginning of creation. See, we get lulled into a sleep that, you know what, these are just cycles or cycles, financial patterns, and it's going to rebound. Oh, yeah, I can remember the Great Depression. That's what happened in 2007. It was inflated. It says exponentially it's going to keep getting worse, which we see that. Meteorologists will tell you things are worse than ever before. 210 earthquakes happen per week. Stuart, at the end of last week, you told me, remember, you reminded me, what happened in Michigan last couple weeks? Earthquakes. Earthquakes happen in Michigan. When's the last time you said that? Oh, don't go to Michigan. There's earthquakes all the time. There's earthquakes in Michigan. Oh, Pastor, that's just alarmist. No, that's just the news. There's earthquakes happening in Michigan. And they're happening everywhere. Jesus is waking up his church because he said, these things will happen prior to my return. Luke 21, Matthew 24. The last thing I want to tell you tonight as we close. It's very important. Lot's wife is on the way out of the city. She buys into the protection part. She listens, she sees the perversion everywhere. She sees that people want to kill her family for doing what is right. Okay? We live in a society, it's not, church, and this is why I believe, as we looked at Matthew 5 the last 2 weeks, that God has had his protection, and Isaiah, that passage in Isaiah was quoted, remember, by Abraham Lincoln after the Civil War, 1865. He said that America has been this vineyard. And that God has had his hand on us. And this is also goes back to Revelations 2 and 3, the Church of Philadelphia, where the church in the United States has sent out missionaries. We've prospered and we've got the message out, but now we've started to change this. The church in America, for whatever reason, has stopped being that missions-minded church at large and decided to change scriptures so to be more inclusive, like we're God and we can invite people everywhere we want to go. We can actually do it. See, Lot's wife had seen the destruction. She had seen righteousness men come up against her. She'd seen the perversion. She knew that judgment was coming. It says, but as they were leaving the city, his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. She turned back. She was on her way out to be delivered. Jesus said in Luke 21, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't fear. Don't look back and say, well, I just want to be safe, so maybe I shouldn't say anything. Maybe just I just need to go back, and this is what makes me relax and just do my own stuff. No, don't turn back from Christ now. We're almost at the end. Wow, three people. We're almost at the end. Miss me's the most exciting time. It's almost over. And this is not because all good, because it's been such a miserable life. No, it's almost over because we're going to see Christ. It should be an exciting time. I'm not exasperated. I'm more encouraged than I've ever before because this body of mine is falling away. I know that, but my spirit man is becoming more alive. I see things like I've never seen before. That's why I went last Friday night, because I see what's going on in the Middle East. I hear people say, man, it's trouble's coming, and I don't know what's going on. Do you know what's going on with end times? Do you know? People want to know. Why? Because they want to know from you the hope that's within you. Why aren't you freaking out? But his wife said, I don't know. I miss that old way. I'm freaking out. She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. This is not the time to turn back to your old way of living. This is not time to turn back into fear. It's not time to default and just go back into your old habits. The word says, fear not. This is why over the last 4 weeks and 26 weeks last year, and we're going to continue right now, because this is a now word. This isn't talking about 20 years from now. We are living the Bible right now. The scriptures that we're looking at is not something as a history lesson. This is talking about every single day we are living scripture, and we need to know how we're living to protect us. Every single day when we wake up, we should have a word for someone that's behind us. You should be able to sit next to two Iraqi women and tell them what's going on with end time prophecy. Why? You have notes. You have the word. You have an anointing. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He says, I will call into remembrance those things that you have already heard and already known. That's John 16, 11 through 12 and 13. You know the word. Luke 21 through 25. I'm getting wound up. Okay, we got two more minutes. All right, everything's going to be fine. Whew. There's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. This is Jesus talking. He said, how are we going to know, Master, how are we going to know what's the end times going to look like? So he said, there's rumors of wars, and people are going to hate you, and they're going to come up against you. And then as he goes on for 22 verses, now he comes up to verse 25, because he started in verse 4. He says, there's going to be distress, trouble, and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity without resources, embarrassment, doubt, not... Does that sound like today? Man, this is what it's going to be like. Men swooning, expiring with fear and dread, apprehension, expectation of things that are coming on the world, things that the Bible said were going to happen. They're dreading things that are going to happen, but the Bible told you and I, it said from the beginning of time this is going to happen. It says the very powers of heavens are going to be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, descending with power and glory and majesty and splendor. And now when these things begin to occur, what things? The things the Bible said are going to occur. Look up, lift up your head, because your deliverance is drawing near. See, I'm not freaking out. I'm just living Scripture. I lift up my head. When I look and say, oh, no, know about the news. Oh, no, Jesus is coming, everybody. Jesus said, look at this parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they put forth their buds and come out and leave, you see for yourselves and perceive and know that summer is already here. When you see these things taking place, understand and know the kingdom of God is now at hand. This generation will not perish and pass away until all has taken. What are they talking about? That you talk about in the original Greek, when it talks about the buds and the trees, and it's putting forth, it says when Israel becomes a nation again, when did it become a nation again? 248. It says that generation, well, how long is the generation? Is it 120 years? Is it 70 years? It's good for a man to live 70 years, isn't it? According to the Bible, I'm not promised 70, but it says it's good for a man to live 70. Well, Pastor, are you trying to predict a date? No, but I'm trying to tell you the Bible says you'll know the signs or the seasons which we live in. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I can tell you it's close, that the kingdom of God is at hand. It says the sky and the earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Why is the sky and the earth going to pass away? Because we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. So the things that we're living and we're seeing, but what about the oxygen level and all that? No, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Stop trying to save that which is going to be burnt up. People put so much, what about Mother Earth? What do you mean by Mother Earth? There's going to be a new earth that's going to be created. I'm not telling you to go litter. I'm trying to tell you, stop putting the earth before God. Stop trying to concern yourself with save this. No, go save souls. People are saving the whales instead of saving souls. Man, that was good. Thank you. Man, take heed to yourself. Verse 34. Be on guard. Man, be on guard, church. The enemy goes around seeking who he may devour, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed. This is what it can do if we don't get in God's word because of the promise of his return. With giddiness and headache and nausea, self-indulgence, drunkenness, worldly worries, throw it out the door, man. Get rid of it. For it's going to come all who live upon the face of this entire earth. So keep awake and watch at all times. That means that in the Greek right there, pay a close attention to current events. Watch at all times. Watch what? Watch what's going on. The previous 32 verses, what she's talking about. Have the full strength and ability to be counted worthy, Revelations, it says, to be an overcomer, to expect to escape all the things. What are things? Things that he said in his word are going to take place. So here we go. Ready? Real quick, don't fear, church. He tells us don't fear over and over again in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 about the end times. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 21, the Lord's my light, my salvation. Then who shall I fear? Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Pastor, why are you doing this? Because when he's talking about the end times, he always tells us to fear not. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't. And I'm giving you all the verses because if you love God, you'll keep his. These are commands to do not fear. If you love God, you will not fear. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage and don't be afraid, fear not, don't be afraid. The Lord thy God, he is that do go with thee. He will not fail you, he will not forsake you. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon, son, be strong, be of good courage, and just do it. Just do what? Do God's word. If you love me, keep my commands. To him that overcome will I grant and sit with me in my throne. Even as I also have overcome, I am set down with my Father in his throne. The promise we have in Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. What are things? Things in God's word that he says we get. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen?